If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
Your night out for you is the bartending, right? Because you're being paid to be out, and hopefully they give you some food too. So
I do get a free shift meal every time I work.
Yes, this is why. So if you listen to my podcast, I
get
always
a bartending job, guys.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I just wanted to give a shout out for anyone who is interested in being a guest. It is completely anonymous, so we'll let you choose a fake name and we will hide identifiable information so you can come on the show and share freely. It is a full hour to an hour and a half with me, Barbara, and we'll do a deep dive on your finances, where you're doing well, where maybe you're struggling, and come up with a game plan for how to reach your financial goals. To be a guest, you just need to put a submission in either on Instagram or on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com. And you just need to be a female. As we've said before, this podcast is produced with Amy, Alex, and myself, so an all-female team, and our goal is to help improve financial education amongst women, so that is why we interview women about their finances. So if you're listening to this and you're interested in being a guest, please put in a submission on our website, www.futurerichpodcast.com, or send us a message on Instagram.
Hello, and welcome to the Nicious Podcast, Future Rich. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I am here with my guest today, Violet. Hi, Violet.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, excited to be here. A little nervous, but excited.
Okay. Oh, don't be nervous. We're very excited to have you, so why don't you fill myself and our listeners in about who you are, so where you live, how old you are, what you make, all that jazz.
Sure. So I'm 30 years old and I live in Pennsylvania. Currently I'm working as a digital marketing, digital marketing associate for, ironically, a finance firm, a local finance and investment firm. Yes. Here in Pennsylvania. And annually I make around 51, 52K. And then I also do have a part-time job as a bartender at a bar down the street from my house. And this is a new development for me, so I've only been working there for a couple of weeks now. But that income kind of fluctuates, you know, with the service industry. But yeah, that's kind of a little bit of my background here financially, I guess.
I love to hear that you have a side job. I'm a big, as you, if you listen to the podcast, I'm a big fan of that. And then I imagine, well, when I worked in the service industry, it was a lot of cash because I'm old. And now I think more of it's on the books.
Yeah. So the way mine works is actually kind of nice. Any cash tips that I get that night, I take home with me. But anything credit card tips that I get, my managers just add it into a paycheck and then pay me twice a week or biweekly with that paycheck, which is kind of nice because then taxes are already taken out of it.
Taken
in addition
out.
To my hourly, because I think the hourly serving wage here in PA is $2.83 an hour. So then normally,
it hasn't gone up much.
No,
I think I was $2.15.
Yep. So $2.83, and then that's nice because then tax time rolls around and you're a little bit more prepared in terms of you have the money taken out and you don't have to owe as much at the end of the year. So that's kind of how mine works. And I like the setup that I keep my cash as like my spending money, my silly money. And then the other stuff goes towards some of the goals that I'm working on right now. So.
Perfect. I love that. Yeah. And I guess for everyone listening who has their jaw has hit the floor, So many people don't realize that with bartenders and waitresses or waiters, that the hourly wage is minuscule. Mm-hmm. Because it's, you're reliant on tips for your income.
Yeah, not all states are like that. I know New York State, they go by minimum wage is 15. So the servers up in New York, bless you.
They're They changed it. I was a waitress in New York. I was making $2.15.
Yeah, at least
so they must have changed it.
Yeah, at least a couple years ago, I was on a trip up there in the Finger Lakes, and I was talking to the guy because I've been in the service industry since, you know, I was 18 years old.
So. 18, yeah.
Yep, and he said, yeah, I mean, I make $15 an hour plus tips. I was like, I'm moving to New York because that's awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was going to say, because I felt like I did really well as a waitress. I waited tables in college.
Yeah.
And then a little bit my first year in New York, it proved to be too hard with a job where they had you flying, because then obviously you can't be like, well, I can't fly tonight because I have a waitress shift.
Yeah.
But I did pretty well with just the base. But yeah, you're right. It depends on where you're. But a lot of waitresses and waiters and bartenders have a very, very low minimum wage. Yeah. But, okay, so I love that you have a second job.
Yes.
And you get cash. That's wonderful. Okay, so talk to me then about your expenses, and then we'll go through your savings.
Okay, so a lot of my expenses now, so I guess the reason why I was called to interview or talk with you is that I feel like my expenses are relatively low. It's my debt payments that I'm having a lot of trouble working on, getting those out. I feel like it takes up a ton of my budget. So currently the house I'm living in, I do rent. I have a roommate and our rent is $1,400. So we split that $700 each. Utilities for us, kind of between gas and electric, that's what we pay for. We don't use the gas in the summertime because that's just for our heating. I put on my budget, it could vary between like $150 to $200 a month, depending. And like usually the electric is higher over the summer because of our air conditioning. Wi-Fi is $80 a month. I have a cell phone bill that's $44 a month. I'm actually going to pull up my budget because I do have a copy of it on my phone because I don't want to make sure.
Perfect.
Anything. So rent. I did recently lease a new car. So I do have a car payment that's $434. Okay. I have yet to pay the first payment on that because I just got the car a couple weeks ago. But I have a pet insurance payment, $65. Let's see. I paid
what about car insurance?
I paid that up front for 6 months.
Okay.
But that is around – the monthly rate is like $160. I just don't have that built into my budget right now because I paid it the 6 months up front.
Already.
I have about $100 budgeted for gasoline, $200 for groceries monthly. And then I do partake in yoga classes. That's kind of like my physical fitness / mental health thing that I do for myself. That's $120 a month for unlimited classes. I do see a mental health therapist. That it's a priority in my budget. Unfortunately, my health insurance does not cover mental health therapy, which kind of sucks. So I have to pay full price out of pocket for that, which is $120 per session. And I see her once a month for that. And then I do have a Planet Fitness membership, but I'm working on canceling that because I don't know anyone who like actually goes to a Planet Fitness regularly. And if you do, that's no shade. It's just like, so they make it so hard to cancel the membership because you have to go in there.
Physically go in there.
It's so annoying. And the manager has to be on duty. It's crazy. Like it's so dumb.
I have a Planet Fitness because I travel back and forth between Utah and New York. And I do go when I'm in New York, but it's, you can't like even pause it. Like when I'm out of town. My dad told me he saw somebody, and I don't know if this is true because he also has one, that the person was trying to cancel like the membership for a deceased person. And the manager's like, well, I really need the person. And they're like, they're dead.
It just, yeah, like.
It's impossible to get.
Yeah, it's
so hard to cancel.
Yeah. And it's just one of those things where I'm like, it's on my way home from work. I should just go in and do it. But like the social interaction gives me like so much anxiety. Like, I don't know. So it's, I'm working on getting that done, but on the budget right now, it's $25 a month. So it's like basically $25 I'm throwing in the garbage. It wouldn't be going in the garbage if I used it, but I don't go there. So.
So it's good to know. But yeah, I think maybe just psych yourself up and be like, I'm going to get a cup of coffee and then I'm just going to go hang out at Planet Fitness. And maybe just sit in the massage chair until the manager's at back and ready to go.
Yeah. And then I do have my minimums for my debt payments as well. I don't know if you want to.
Yeah, let's hear those. Those will be the big ones, okay. I imagine. Okay.
Okay. So I have a lot of shame talking about this. I'm trying to not let it like dictate me who I am. So I'm just going to speak openly about it and be candid because who really cares? Okay. So my first one, I have a Wells Fargo credit card that the minimum payment is $128.
Okay.
I have a Amazon credit card. The minimum payment on that is $220.
Okay.
I have a Capital One that the minimum is $136.
Okay.
And then I also have an Upstart personal loan that I use to pay off credit cards in the past, but now I'm
okay
back in credit card debt. That payment is $365 a month.
I fell back into some credit card debt after getting the loan and paying off the cards.
Okay. Yeah. Credit cards are slippery, slippery little things. Okay, perfect. And then do you want to tell me what the balance, why, because those are your minimum payments. Do you want to tell me what your balances are for yep. each and we'll come up with a plan?
Yes. So the balance on the Wells Fargo card is $4,340. Okay. And this is all rounded up. I don't have exact change.
Yeah, that's totally fine.
The Amazon credit card is $5,216, although I did just make a $250 payment on that on Friday. So that's probably lower.
Oh, great.
At this point. And then my Capital One is at $4,225.
Okay.
And then I have an Upstart. That one balance is $11,453.
Okay, perfect.
And I don't know if it's worth mentioning, but I do have a student loan. However, my parents, luckily, bless them, have offered to take over the payments on that for a little bit for both myself and my sister, just kind of as a gift. So
that's great.
I'm very lucky. So that is not currently in my budget, but it is a debt that I do have. And that has, I don't know the exact amount. I want to say it's less than $7,000 that's left on the student loan. But I'm not paying those right
paying
now.
It. Yeah. Okay, perfect. I'm going to jot that down. Okay, well, let's focus. That's super generous of your parents.
They're great.
Yeah. So we'll table that for the moment since it's not an immediate need and they've said they'll take care of it.
Yep.
And then we can come back to that. But let's take care of the immediate, which is the credit card. And let me just see if I add up your current expenses. And we're going to use the bartending money. I think I want to use that to help with the debt. So, and I think that's a fantastic way to do it. So
yeah.
Why don't you tell me what you're bringing home right now from your digital marketing job, like on a monthly basis, what gets deposited while I add up your expenses here?
Yeah.
That you gave
me. So, my digital marketing job, I get paid semi-monthly. So once on the 5th and once on the 20th of each month.
Okay.
And that's $1,600. So it's like $1,645 every time I get paid. Now,
okay, perfect.
Another disclaimer about my income, I do get bonuses at work. So depending on how the firm does, we have a profit sharing bonus. And that's dependent on, obviously, the state of the economy, how our stocks do, et cetera. And then we also have a performance-based bonus. And I mean, I can talk a little bit about that if you want, but in terms of like the amounts, it's not stat. It's not a static amount, or I guess does so static mean it stays the same, or does it mean it's different?
Static. I believe static means now I'm doubting myself. I think static means it stays the same.
Okay, so they're dynamic, variable, meaning yes, correct. Yes, yeah. And I don't count that in any of my monthly budget because I like to budget based off of my base salary and
your
not my
fixed
bonuses.
Income. Yeah, exactly. What you're going to have is a fixed income. Perfect. No, I think exactly. That's great. Okay, so you get $16.45, it was, you said?
Correct.
Once, yes. Twice a month. Okay, so that you bring, so you're bringing home $3,290. And I have down with the numbers you gave me, the $700 for rent, which is great. Utilities, car lease, pet insurance, yoga, I have Planet Fitness in there. Then it comes out to be $2,250. I'm rounding up. Does that sound about right for what you have on your budget?
Yeah. The way mine's broken down on my spreadsheet is it has everything with the debt payments, but that does sound about right.
Okay. Yeah. So let me add in your debt payments. So then your debt payments with the minimum is $128,220 plus $136 plus $365. So that comes to $850. So $850 plus, I'll just say $2,250. That comes to basically $3,100. So you really don't have much room for error with your budget, right? So you basically have like an extra extra $190 a month, right? And so that $190 over four weeks can disappear pretty quickly, you know?
Yeah.
If your grocery goes up or your utilities are a little high, like it's really hot, right, with the air conditioning. So you don't have a ton of wiggle room. But here's what I do think. I think the bartending job, and what's your intention with that? Like, how often are you scheduled to work? Are you planning on working? And what is it? I know it varies, but on an average night, because obviously you have great nights and then bad nights, right? Where no one comes in. But on an average night, what do you think you would make in cash? Like, if you had to estimate.
So I'm only working there 2 days a week for now. And that's just one, because I don't want to be working every single day of my life. And two, the place that I'm working, it's a small local business. So they already have two full-timers that I don't want to step on their toes, take their hours. I'm there to just kind of fill in, supplement when they're not, you know, when they want a day off or whatever.
2 days a week with a full-time job is wonderful.
Yeah. So I work Tuesday nights. I have the whole night shift to myself. So that's five to nine. And then I do like either Saturday or Sunday. And I would say in cash, I've been getting like at the most like $20 walk home, right? Because most people pay in credit card tips. I did just get my first bartending paycheck from them on Friday, which was $257. And I took that. I opened up like a separate checking account for all my bartending checks. And I just threw that $250 like straight on my Amazon card in addition to the minimum payment that comes out of my other bank account.
Yep. So I think that all the bartending money goes to the credit cards.
Yes. Okay.
Because you don't have enough wiggle room in your regular budget. There's not really anything we can cut out. It's, you know, I did a podcast where someone had $800 allocated for fun. Like, you don't have that allocated, right? You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't have anywhere to pull, a lot to pull from. So what I would say is the bartending job is great. I think two days a week working a side job is great.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Because you're working your full-time job 5 days a week, I presume.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, so that, I don't think you need to be bartending every night, unless that was something you wanted to. I think 2 days a week. And so on average, so you're not walking home because everyone, not a lot of cash these days. So the 257, how many was that from two shifts of bartending?
That was from like 2 weeks worth. So I would say
2 weeks, four shifts.
Yeah. Around four shifts worth. Yeah.
Okay. So four shifts. And then you probably got a little cash too.
Correct. The caveat with that is, so for those shifts, I was training on a couple of them. So I had to split. I was working with another adult. We split it down the middle. So I'm hoping going forward, now that I have Tuesday nights by myself, because the one Tuesday night, I mean, the both of us made like 140 altogether, but we split it. So, you know, if I work like Tuesday night, I'll get all of that to myself versus, you know, splitting it with her. We do split on the busier shifts, but that's because like Saturdays and Sundays are a lot busier.
So, do you think you could like on average make like 100 a shift all in? Like take home?
I think, yeah, I do think that's possible for sure.
Because then if you're working two shifts a week, right? Even if we said 75, this is when you're working eight shifts a month, right? But $600 extra a month for the credit cards.
Yeah.
That's material. That's a good chunk of change. And it could be high, or it could be lower. It could be 500, but it could also be 700 or 800 if you're averaging 100. A shift. I would put all of that right on the credit cards.
Okay.
Now, the hard part about credit cards is the interest.
Yes.
Right? And so I'm just going to take, do you have any emergency fund or anything like that at this point?
I do have some money saved as an emergency fund, yes.
Okay, how much do you have in there?
Let me grab the exact amount. I know it's around $4,000.
Okay, good.
I have it in a wealth front account for high yield, just trying to make a little bit of money off of it.
Yeah, that's
$4,331 is what I have in the like the high yield savings emergency fund.
Okay, perfect. And then any other savings? Are you in your work retirement?
Not yet. So okay. I do have a 401k currently that's got around $27,000. Oh, in there from a past job. The way my job works now is I have to wait a year of service before I can start contributing to their 401k. They do not match. However, with them being in finance world, I suppose, I am eligible to be part of their ESOP.
You work for an ESOP company?
I think so. I'll be honest, girl. I don't know much about like that side of finance. I make the numbers look good and I market them. But yeah,
hold the phone. ESOP is one of my, so I love ESOPs.
Okay. I don't know anything about them.
That's fine. Like 99% of America has no idea what it is. It's an employee stock ownership program, and there is a wait time to get in it. And what it means is all the employees own the company. It is very rare. There are only 2,000 in the country.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. The statistics on an ESOP, I have like my textbook somewhere and I don't know where. The statistics on the ESOP are phenomenal. So,
okay,
so this is amazing. So working for an ESOP, you should never leave. No, I'm just kidding. You want to work there?
My dad said.
Oh, did your dad know what an ESOP is? So many people don't know what they are.
Yeah. My dad knew because I ran my budget by him, and you know, I've gotten his advice a little bit too, but he comes from a completely different tax bracket than I do. So sometimes his advice is not helpful for me.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of why I'm reaching out to you and wanting to go through this with you. But yeah, he said the same thing about an ESOP, that it's good that I at least stay a couple, I think he said 5 years. And I think that's what the number of years is on the ESOP plan.
Right. So you want to invest in the ESOP. I would say you really, if you are ever going to leave, please come back on the podcast, because you really have to do a very deep dive analysis on what the other company is going to offer you. Because the statistics on ESOP employees is they retire with 2 times more than the average American, sometimes 3 times more. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Because you're getting profits of the company. And so I know I've worked with some ESOPs participants before. They all retired millionaires.
Wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not guaranteed. I can't guarantee that your ESOP is going to do that.
But
to give you perspective, the one who retired a millionaire, it was a gas station employee.
Love that.
He became a manager. And like worked his way up in the ESOP, but their ESOP, the reason why is that ESOP had an average return every year of 18%.
Okay. Wow.
That's just unusual. Obviously the stock market doesn't do that. And so it was just a very profitable company. They also have a lot of tax benefits as ESOPs. Usually when you get in an ESOP, they have all amazing benefits and you're participating in the profits of the company, which don't come at me for this. I have to review my notes because I haven't looked at the, I took a test on this 2 years ago. They're not paying taxes if I remember correctly. So then all the profits are going back into your plan that you're participating in.
Okay.
Yeah. So wow. Amazing. Yeah. So yeah. Your dad is right. You definitely want to get vested in it. And then I would say you really want to consider, it's not the same as a 401k, your ESOP participation. And so if you ever want to go somewhere else, like you would have to be making a lot more money to give up. Like, so let's say your ESOP plan is averaging like somewhere between 15 and 20% return every year and you participate in those profits. Yes. You don't know if the company is always going to be profitable. Right. But they're usually closely held organizations and they're usually run efficiently. You have to have good management for an ESOP to work in the first place, which is why there's only 2,000 in the country based on the last numbers I saw. So if you're going to go to another job, a private job, like a 401k that's not employee owned and they give you like an 8% match, but you're making 18% over here and not having to contribute, that's not the same financially. Okay. So you definitely, if you are thinking about leaving, you need to do some like serious analysis on what your actual pay is with the ESOP, like based on what you're getting as an owner of that company.
Okay.
Like a true owner, like not like cause the ESOP, it's all owned by the employees.
Right. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. And that's why the individuals who work for ESOPs retire with significantly more money than like an average 401k participant.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. So yeah, I do have a 401k and I'm able to contribute to the 401k after a year. And I that money that I have now, it's in Fidelity. So I think I'm going to keep it there and then just roll whatever contributions from my paycheck into Fidelity. And then I hit my 1 year mark at this job in July. So I'll be able to get into the ESOP program in July.
Amazing.
So yeah, I have some notes on it.
Okay, because I just looked. I was just Googling it because I can't. I couldn't remember the numbers off the top of my head because I haven't looked at it since I took my exam on it. Because I took a class to get the SEPA designation so I could learn more about it because I find it to be like really, really fascinating. And I think it the numbers. It's like 172% more in retirement if you work for an ESOP.
That's crazy. Especially because the past year I have not been contributing anything to a 401k. That was making me a little nervous because...
Yeah, I would not worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. And then I also have the option to start an HSA, which I was thinking of doing as well because I do have company paid healthcare through my job. So they pay for my healthcare, which is great, but it's a high deductible plan. So I'm running into issues with that.
Yep.
Where I have pay my full deductible of $1,700 before insurance covers pretty much anything. So that's been kind of a struggle because I am starting to experience a couple of health problems that I want to, you know, keep on top of.
Sure.
So I think I'm going to start, I think that's after a year as well. I can start contributing to their HSA. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would do that. I wouldn't be surprised if they make a contribution on your behalf as well. And then you could probably then get the receipts for your therapist and take that out of the HSA.
Okay.
You could see if that it would be considered a deductible expense, but I would think that you'd be able to put that through.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think that's all great. So do not worry about not contributing for a year. And it's standard protocol that there's a year wait, and that is what it is. Right. I think the focus here would be let's get your credit cards paid off. And then let's see. So if you are making, let's see here, with the bartending money, $600 a month, right, give or take, and that's over 12 months, that would be $7,200. So it is going to take a bit of time, but you said you get bonuses that are variable.
Correct.
What do those look like? Like, do you have an idea what those might look like? Could we add those in to pay off the credit cards too?
Yeah. So I received one that was like $3,000. That was pre-tax. So for that, I think I got in my check like $2,200 or like $2,100. Yeah.
Okay.
And those for a while, like when I first started, part of my onboarding was I said, I want a starting bonus and I want the bonus that I wouldn't be eligible to get. And then I'll start with you guys. And they gave that to me. So I used great. A lot of that to pad my emergency savings. Unfortunately, I did have to dip into the emergency savings like a month or so ago because I had this huge fiasco with my car and it was like this whole thing. I had to like buy a new one and, you know, I was very hesitant to spend that money because it didn't feel like an emergency to me, but my friends were like, Violet, girl, that's like an emergency. Like you need to do that so that you don't like put these repairs like on a credit card. Put your deposits yeah. on, you know, anything like that. So that was a hard lesson to learn, but yeah. So my bonuses range, I would say like around like the 2000 mark is kind of where they are, give or take $100 more, a couple hundred bucks less, depending on, you know, the profit and everything that goes on with that. So,
and you'll get one or two of those a year.
So normally we get two. Last year we got three because we got a Christmas bonus. So that's not standard according to my manager when we spoke, but yeah, so it's two a year.
Okay, so two.
March and August usually is when they're paid out.
Okay, perfect. So then you would be getting another one coming up here. So yes. That would definitely, I would put that on the Wells Fargo. If we start, like if we shoot to do, well, technically your Capital One is the lower one and you just made the payment on that one, you said. So, okay. So then I would actually start on they're pretty even, Wells Fargo and Capital One. So yeah. Whatever one is higher interest, I'd start on that one because the balances are about the same.
Okay.
Or they're similar. And so what I would do is tackle one credit card at a time, because then you'll start to see it get better, right? So by August, you'll have 2000 to put right on Capital One. If you put, we'll just say that's the one with the highest interest. I don't know, but
I think that one is the one with the highest interest. I think you're right.
Okay, perfect. So we'll just use that one then. So then you'll put your bonus right on there. And what I'll say is you're going to have to be really disciplined, and it's not going to be...
Yeah.
Your night out for you is the bartending, right? Because you're being paid to be out, and hopefully they give you some food too. So
I do get a free shift meal every time I work.
Yes. This is why. So if you listen to my podcast, I always
get a bartending job, guys.
I always push for that. And that's what my dad taught me. My dad was like, well, if you are tight on money, when you go and be away, I actually was a terrible bartender, so I can't do that. I can only wait tables. I tried bartending and I was like, too many people looking at me. No, thank you.
It's a forced social interaction. I get it for sure.
Yeah. I was like, I'd rather be like, okay, your food's good. See you later. I'm going to the next table.
Yep.
But my dad was always like, you get a free meal, right? You're out, you're getting social interaction, you're getting paid for it, and you're getting free food. So that was my dad's thing, was like, no matter whatever happens in life, you can always be a waitress and then you can always support yourself and eat.
100%. And I was like,
yeah. So you're not spending money. So that's your night out, and that's fine because it's temporary. Yeah. You just need to do this for a little bit to get the as you've experienced, the credit cards are a super slippery slope. And once you get in, it's hard to get out. You're like in this hole and it's very hard to climb out of it. So the great news is we don't have to really worry as much about your retirement because you're in an ESOP. So all you have to do is work there and you should be fine from a retirement standpoint.
Yes.
So that's amazing. So we just need to focus, and it's probably going to take you, like, it depends on how it goes, but probably like 3 years to get out of these credit cards, even with, because like, let's say, so you have 7,200 in 12 months with bartending, plus let's say you have 4,000 of bonuses. So that's like 11,000, right? And there's interest accruing on these. That's the problem. So it's, right? So even at 2 years, that gets you to 22,000. So you'll be close, but it depends on how much interest is accumulating as we're doing this. So ideally you get it done in 2.5 years, but it could take, and if there's a month that something comes up, that's going to delay it, which that's okay. But I would say every penny I would put on the credit cards. And if someone offers an extra shift, I would look at it as at the end of when your credit cards are done, you don't have to have a bartending job. If you really like it, maybe you go down to one night a week because it's a free night out, you know, you get paid to go out.
It's a free meal.
Free meal if you enjoy it. You know, it's hard work, obviously, But
yeah,
when you get in your rhythm, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, I think that's kind of like where I'm at right now, is a transition of like, and I was very, very open with, first off, my family and also my friends, because I feel like if they don't know like where you're at in your, I guess, financial journey, like it's harder for me to say no to things if they don't know what I'm going through. So yes. I made sure to be very like candid with them and just say like, hey guys, I'm in a crap ton of debt right now. And like our activities, like we can obviously still hang out and kiki and have fun, but like our activities, like I cannot spend a lot. So
right.
That was kind of, and it was, I'm lucky, very well received and, you know, had a lot of support. But I think the transition for me too is like the way I've operated for the longest time is, oh, if there's money in your account, you should just spend it. And if you don't have the money for what you want, just put it on a credit card. And yep. That's a very hard and shameful thing for me to admit, but that's how I got here. And I think that, like, you know, with having to buy a new car, I had to take a hard look at my finances, girl. And I looked and I was like, oh, wow, I am not where I'd like to be. And I'm juggling and I'm struggling and like I have nothing to save, and that's a little scary for me.
Thank you so much for listening to the Future Rich podcast. This is part one of our episode with Violet. Part two will air next week on Friday, August 28th. Thank you so much.
Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.